Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in for another show. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host as viewed in a public journal atmosphere and do not reflect any policy or position of any fraternal order. The soul is our appetite driving us to eat from the banquet of life. People filled with the hunger of the soul will take food from every dish before them, whether it will be bitter or sweet. And I am back for another show. Been gone for a long time. I had to get some stuff squared away, basically with my health and good stuff like that, and the things I have to do to get a sublime place, temple, so to speak, of where I'm at right now. With today's guest, I will have worshipful brother Gordon Eklund, who will be calling in a few seconds. And today's topic is dealing with a peculiar system of morality, subduing our passions. And as you can see, the route society is going today, subduing our passions is a problem. So let me check the lines. Worshipful brother, are you there?
I am here, Chester. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking out your time out of your day to join us this nice Friday.
Yeah, it's
how
beautiful here,
things,
too.
How are things in Canada?
Oh, it's fairly good here. In general, you know, I think that we happily are finished our elections, so we're not in the process of that happening. You know, we do have quite a massive fire situation happening out west, which has been looking quite drastic. People's attention are really pointed to that. And,
in the United States, that's pretty much what we're hearing right now about Canada is the fire that's going on, the high flames and like 200-foot flames and things like that.
Yeah, there's quite startling video of caravans of cars trying to escape, you know, although unfortunately a great swath of the Midwest is in that type of an emergency situation. And although, you know, the nice thing is what comes out of these situations are amazing stories of heroism and charity. One that particularly struck my mind was, or struck me today, was a story about, you know, we in Canada have taken a fair number of Syrian refugees, and those people are turning around and giving back what little they have to the new refugees from the fire.
So
it's quite an amazing story. Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable, you know?
The circle of life.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Would you like to introduce your Masonic experience?
Sure. In terms of my resume, I'm a past master of St. John's Lodge number 63 in the Grand Lodge of Canada in the province of Ontario. I'm also in the Royal Arch. I'm a past first principal. I'm part of an order that's made up of past first principals in Canada. It's a little bit different than a structure in the U.S. The Order of the High Priesthood, and also a knight companion in the Red Cross of Constantine.
Okay, sounds good. How was you introduced to Freemasonry?
It's a bit of an interesting story. I have a lot of Freemasonry in my family, going back quite a ways. I'm from a little small town, and I always walked by this Masonic Hall and didn't know what the heck it was. And from a very young age, perhaps one of my youngest memories is, perhaps being 3.5 feet tall and looking on my grandfather's bureau and seeing this ring with the square and compasses and the G in it. And of course, my name was Gord, so I was pretty sure that was my ring. Anyway, I didn't really know much about Freemasonry in those days. The old guys didn't talk that much or even let you know what they were doing. but I actually started to get into my awareness about 20 years ago. And, I've got neighbors who are Masons, and the very first book I bought was a book by Dr. Robert Lomas, The Hiram Key. And I gave that to my neighbor. I wasn't interested in Freemasonry yet. I still didn't know what it was. But I had started a business
That was the first book you ever bought?
That was the first. Yeah, and it wasn't for me either. I bought it in Heathrow Airport for my neighbor. And I gave it to him. And that was the first edition of that too.
Yeah.
And
I read that book. Yes.
Yeah, great. Well, yes. I read it much later when finally I was in business with I had started my own business, and one of my partners just said one day, "Gord, are you interested in, have you ever thought of becoming a Freemason?" And I said to him, "Well, I don't know, because I really don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But I know my grandfather and my uncle were one." So from there, I decided to understand what it was. And as I had already been somewhat interested in esoteric pursuits and study a lot of Buddhism, etc., I soon found that right here in the heart of Western society, we had this esoteric body with, if you're familiar with Buddhism, sanghas in every town, that I could join. So I thought, perhaps this is a spiritual esoteric system that I can follow that will be not foreign to my mind. And I joined after we moved on from that business, and I've never looked back. It's been everything I thought it would be.
So when was that experience that you had, that you knew in your heart this was the path for you?
It was as soon as I entered the lodge, as soon as I was able to go through that first meeting, I knew that this is something that was exactly what I was looking for. I also had wanted to engage more in the community, and it was serving up all of those things for me. I did, from the beginning, vow to myself that I would engage in it and be somebody who would contribute. And that's part of the key, right? Working very hard at it and making sure you're engaged and not asking, what is this doing for me? It's really about what are you doing for it and everybody else. It's about service.
Yes. And making it better than what it was when you came into it.
That's
can
right.
Can you go over a little bit of the history of Freemasonry in Canada?
Well, Freemasonry in Canada came quite early. The first known lodge was established in the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia in 1738, and that was, I think, 1 year after it had been established in Boston. And the history there was that, of course, Freemasonry has always been spread in the old days by British military lodges. So the British Army would go, and or the British Navy would go somewhere, and there'd be a lodge go with them. And so that was the original lodge. And it just spread from there, albeit somewhat slowly because the population was low and it was really just taking root in North America.
Now,
that was the start.
To your understanding, have there been any splits inside of Canadian Freemasonry?
Not a permanent split. It started out with the Grand Lodge of Canada in the province of Ontario. Well, sorry. It started out in Nova Scotia, but that was under the Grand Lodge of England, or it could have been the Grand Lodge of Scotland. I don't know which one. But for a long time, our lodges we did not have a Grand Lodge. The first Grand Lodge was in Upper Canada. It's called, which is in the Ontario region. There were actually several groups trying to establish the Grand Lodge, and my lodge actually is fairly old. We got our warrant in 1843, but we allied ourselves with a Grand Lodge that was headquartered in Kingston, Ontario, versus one that was in Hamilton, Ontario. And ultimately, our Grand Lodge lost, so we had to join the Hamilton Grand Lodge some 23 years after we received our warrant. So my lodge is number 63. It would have been number 16. But that was then from there on, other provinces established Grand Lodges. And that's the kind of split, not really a matter of we're having a difference of opinion, but more, we think we want our own Grand Lodge because we're far away from the center of Canada. So we're just going to establish it like that.
Okay. You brought up earlier regarding your service and dealing with the world in general. Freemasons adhere to a code of conduct, as you know, and can that code of conduct assist in changing the world, or at the least our own environment that we are in?
I think very much so. Freemasonry isn't a religion, as you well know, but it is a religious activity, if you will, a spiritual activity. And our code of ethics and morality is, if you were to look at how we are taught, it's one of the most idealistic sets of standards you could ever imagine. As well, it's about participation and engagement in community. And I think that these are things that the world sorely needs today. Over the past 20 to 30 years or longer, we've really been becoming very self-centered, materialistic, egotistical, and these are all things that Freemasonry teaches against, if you will. So if anybody's following the teachings of Freemasonry, and we don't all do that strictly, I think the world would be much more harmonious.
Right. The lower egotistical path right now has blown up so big. Everybody believes that, or is under the, I don't know if you want to call it understanding or not, that their ego or lower ego or emotions are their real selves. And that real
yes.
self at this moment, that lower ego, is speaking for a lot of people instead of the conscience, their
yes.
own inner being. So
yes.
even with that, what do you find interesting in that, in the phrase freedom of conscience?
That is an interesting turn of phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have heard a quote that I mean, first of all, conscience does invoke consciousness, as you're probably aware, and you were just talking about the ego, etc. So there is something there that we are taught to explore. And Freemasonry doesn't impose any particular dogma on you, but you are charged, you are exhorted to go out and explore, the liberal arts and sciences and other thing aspects of life. And so in that exploration, you may, like you and I, run across some of these ideas of the ego versus the greater consciousness, or God, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one aspect of statement. But I heard I've read a fantastic quote, and I don't know if you had just reblogged it or whatever recently, but it speaks to me, and it's the quote is, freedom of choice or freedom of conscience does not mean doing what you want to do, but it means doing what you should do. And that says it all to me.
I'm going to rewind a little bit because I want to explain, get you to explain a charge. For the people that don't know out there, what is, and even some Freemasons, what is a charge?
At various times during Masonic meetings, when we're teaching individuals about a specific set of a specific part of our education, a member will stand up and will repeat a litany of basically ideals that we are asking that member and all members to follow in terms of their behavior and how they treat other people. And a lot of it deals with being of high integrity and high honor. So that's what a charge is. And a charge can typically be anywhere from 2 minutes, 3 minutes, to some are 8 minutes or 11 minutes long. When we deliver these charges or other teachings, it's an interesting part about Freemasonry. We do it by memory. We treat that as a mental exercise, a way of developing yourself.
And it's strange, the process one goes through in that, memory work, and also learning about yourself, new things about yourself with that memory work. And some of the new biology that's out there dealing with cells and receptors and picking up other things in your environment. So that's I like science, so that's a new
yes.
new thing to research and look at. Okay, dealing with Freemasonry, a lot of people can take what you are currently saying and put that in their own atmosphere, so to speak, their own universe, and come up with something negative or something opposite of service and helping the world to mean world domination. Why are so many people in love with conspiracies, you think?
I think a lot of people, first of all, there's a lot of ignorance out there.
Mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people
big bowl of ignorance.
There is a lot of that, you know, unfortunately, and that's another aspect of our society today. It's the most peculiar thing where we seem to almost alienate or denigrate having education or trying to be learned or in some ages we've called it wise. And what seems to be put on a pedestal is running around and acting like a sophomore or a sophomoric college student, right? A lot
so
of people.
Hard. Well, yeah. It's even so hard to even get people to read.
Yes, exactly. People also, first of all, are ignorant, so they don't have a wide span of information or a wide view of what's happening on the planet or of history. Yeah, and they also, if something's going wrong in their lives, people like to blame other people for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, there's always been this culture of being sure of yourself and being confident. Well, people take it to the nth degree, to the point of obtuseness, you know, and of mm-hmm. being absolutely certain, because it's not right to be certain, right? It's a sign of weakness. So you mix all of that together and you get people running around who not only do they want to blame other people, they're also gullible, right? There are mm-hmm. other people out there who are easily who can manipulate these people, and they've got their own bag of self-interest to sell, so they take a lot of gullible, ignorant people who want to blame somebody else for their woes, and they create some pretty weird stories, and it ranges everything from anti-masonry to lizard people and, you know, just these crazy, crazy bag of stories. And we have been subject to that for hundreds of years. And it always starts out with somebody having some kind of a political axe to grind. Now, these days, you know, you couldn't look at Freemasons and say that we're a political powerhouse, but these ancient rumors and stories are so juicy and so incredibly out of this world that they just keep going on and on. They've never stopped.
Go ahead.
And now the echo chamber of the internet is just amplifying them.
Oh yeah, just adding gas to the fire.
Well, we talk about the New World Order, and the big joke among us is that, man, we can't even organize a barbecue.
and that's right? What, of course, a lot of people don't understand. It's the administrative, the problems of administrative processes that the basin has to go through just for that one specific lodge. And
yeah.
It's difficult just to get that right.
That's right. That's totally right.
So dealing with subduing our passions and the peculiar system of morality, any change, of course, is an alchemical change. What is subduing our passions?
Subduing our passions.
Yes.
Well, that kind of goes along with a lot of the theme that we've been talking about. It's not bad to be passionate about things, but you always need to have rationale. You need to think rationally.
Reason.
You have to have reason. And passions on their own are not such a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but they can be taken to the extreme, to the extent that you know, an ignorant person may be certain, absolutely certain that this is, you know, whether it's anger or lust or greed or whatever, you know, it gets taken to the nth degree, and you become attached not only to the object of that passion, but to the passion itself. And
right.
And that's, you know, if you ever, if you look at a lot of the teachings of wisdom paths, you're being taught to don't go off half corked on anything, you know, everything in moderation, you know, and at the end of the day, do not become attached, because let's face it, and this is one of the underlying big teachings of Freemasonry, which is not different from anything else, any other spiritual path, this life is impermanent. Everything in this life is impermanent and will disappear. Everything changes, as you said, an alchemical change. Nothing is constant. So do not grasp for that. And the danger of a non-subdued passion is that you lose sight of that. And when that change comes, you can't handle it. And and that can actually hurt your psyche quite drastically.
And that's the same thing with, as purifying our thoughts. Purifying our thoughts. Try to get rid of the mental poisoning that we deal with every day.
Yes, that's exactly right. And dealing with the ego, the noise that your mind is creating, you know, the mistaken thought that you are not a part of the universe. The thought, you know, the mistaken thought that you are the center of the universe, when you're really just a part of the universe. And for instance, you and I are linked in many ways. And you know, everybody is interconnected, and we all affect each other. So the more selfishly you act, the more damage you're doing to everybody.
Do you think by meditation a person can get more in tune with that universe, or help the meditation as a process can help purify those thoughts, or even to see what you're thinking about day to day or every morning, every night? What thoughts are you having, and how can you transmute those thoughts?
I think meditation is one of the most important exercises that most people don't do, and that anybody can do for themselves. And yes, I believe by trying to quiet those random thoughts, and you never can get rid of them completely. To be successful in meditation, you must understand that you really just need to, if a thought rises, you ignore it, right? But in that process, you gradually are able to quiet those thoughts. And then you start to discover some amazing things about consciousness and how you think and the nature of the world. Definitely number one tool. And I'll have to say that Freemasonry doesn't make enough of that particular exercise. It is mentioned. It is mentioned, but in our lodge practice, we don't emphasize it enough. It is emphasized in some orders of Freemasonry around the world, in the Chamber of Reflection, which is an exercise that's not done everywhere. But that in itself is meditation. It's good practice. We don't do it enough. For instance, up in the Grand Lodge of Canada.
Thank you, brothers. Today is Friday, so I have to let you go. Thanks for a little bit of your time. And do you have any last comments or where people can reach you at?
Well, I'm on Twitter. If anybody's interested, that's my handle is GECHLIN63. And so, if you're interested in it's a Freemasonry focused account. So if you're interested in talking to me further, that's the way to do it. Well, thanks.
Thank
that went fast.
Once you start getting into the groove of filling the topic or filling the conversation, the 30 minutes, it goes real fast.
Yeah. Well, it's great to talk to you, Chester.
Well, nice to hear your voice. So.
Yes. We've known each other for 5 years, but we've never talked. Oh, man.
So, thanks again. Well, whenever you want to talk again, just let me know when you got the free time. We can talk something up.
Will do, sir. Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is good brother, worshipful brother, Gordon Eklund. Thanks for calling in. And let me go out on my outro. Masonry is a way of life with parallels and transversals connecting all of humanity. Masonry is also a way of life for a lot of people who are trying to help humanity. Till next time, be our love. And again, if anyone is interested, I can be reached on Twitter under Mark and Mystic. And this show podcast can be heard on Stitcher Radio and iTunes.